Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Coach's Corner. I'm Coach Andrew Porras from Ingenuity Coaching. I help people to discover and fulfill their passions and greatness. My mission is to inspire and challenge you to dream big dreams, and with my coaching, help you to manifest those dreams into reality. You can visit my website at myfuturecoach.com and follow me on Twitter at Coach Andrew. If you're listening live today in August of 2014 and you have a question, the phone number here is 646-929-2893. You'll be able to listen to the show on the phone, and if you press the number 1, a little hand will come up that says you have a question. We also have a live chat room right in the show page where you can feel free to join in and talk and ask questions there. My guest tonight is Leslie Addato, who is here to talk about her new guide to the great rooftops of New York City, aptly called the Roof Explorer's Guide, 101 New York City Rooftops. This complete guide showcases a dazzling array of surprising rooftop escapes in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island, and the Bronx, from hotel rooftop bars and restaurants to elevated parks to museums, theaters, green roofs, and elevated farms. The Roof Explorer's Guide even features rooftop classes, entertainment, and sports. So you could find out about this book and even pick up a copy at theroofexplorersguide.com, and it's also on Amazon. Leslie Addato, are you with me?
Hey, Andrew, I'm here. How are you?
I'm great. So glad to have you up here on the roof of my radio station.
I wish I were on the roof. It's a little wet outside tonight for that, though.
And that's, I'm going to maintain that we are on the roof having a radio show in your honor.
Okay.
So before we start, I was thinking, what great roof joke could I tell you? I have a couple in my mind. I'll tell one joke now, and if I think of it, maybe I'll do another one later. I felt like I had to tell a roof joke.
Are
you okay with that?
I don't know if I've heard a roof joke lately. This will
okay.
be refreshing. Great.
Well, okay, so there's this a fellow has a dog, and it's a talking dog, and he goes into this bar, and he says, "Hey, I got a talking dog here. In fact, I'll prove it to you if you let me have a drink in exchange for me showing off my talking dog." And the bartender says, "Get out of here. He doesn't think it's a talking dog." "No, I'll prove it to you." And he says to his dog, "Okay, who's the greatest Yankee of all time?" "Woof." "Oh, come on. What do you call that thing on top of a building?" "Woof." Now the bartender's going, "Come on, I'm going to throw you guys out of here." He goes, "No, I'm telling you." And he says, what do you call a material that's like not very soft?" "Woof." He throws the guy out of the bar with his dog, and he's outside the bar. He says to his dog, "Oh, I can't believe we blew that again. Roof." And the dog looks up and says, "What, I should have said DiMaggio." Okay, that's my roof joke for today. I was supposed to actually say the Babe Ruth that was the last part, but I'm not a joke teller, but just for you, came up with a roof joke. Okay, so let's talk about your kind of roofs. How did you come to be a New York City rooftop maven?
Well, I spent 4 years poking around, the last 4 years poking around and asking and getting invited to, probably hundreds of roofs in New York City. New York's an amazing place. There's so much opportunity here. If you ask, so often people say, "Sure, let's do it." And what I was asking about, starting in July of 2010 when I moved here, was access to rooftops. And it's incredible how many places I've been to that are really hard to get to. But my book is not about those places. My book is about public access rooftops that anybody can get to. So that's the unique thing about this book is it's Roof Explorer's Guide, because I'm not the only roof explorer out there. Anybody who buys this book can be a roof explorer.
So let me ask you this then. So any book, any page in this book I turn to and there's a roof, are you saying that that is open to anyone, or are there limitations on any of these?
The answer to those questions, both of them, is yes. They're open to anybody. Well, in some cases, you have to be over 21 for certain bars, or you know, there's certain limitations like that. But they're open to the public. But in some of the cases, you do need to make special arrangements in advance, or buy a tour, or something like that. And all those details are in the sidebars and in the text of the book.
Okay, yeah, because I'm going to open the book at random. Okay.
Okay.
Page. Let's just open the book at random. And let's see, where am I? Fornino, the Art and Science of Pizza.
Okay, so you're in section two. Which roof number is that?
Which what number?
It has a number.
Oh, number.
Oh,
roof
45.
Number 45.
That's number 45 out of 101. Okay. Yes. And these are not, by the way, I didn't realize people would think this. There's so many lists out there these days that rank things. This book is not ranking these roofs. That's not the numbers that are on them. They're listed geographically.
Ah,
so roof
okay.
number one starts at the bottom of Manhattan and moves up. And so each section starts with the bottom of Manhattan and moves up and then out into the boroughs. And so they are not ranked. Number Fornino is not my 45th favorite roof. It just happens to be 45 out of 101 geographically.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. So, oh, I love Fornino. Oh, I can tell your listeners an amazing tip about Fornino.
Tell us.
Well, first of all, the non-roof Fornino is a, you know, brick-and-mortar pizza store in Brooklyn and fabulous. But the one I'm talking about is at Brooklyn Bridge Park on Pier 6, which is roof number 45 in the book. And they had, the fireworks for the Macy's July 4th have been moved back to the East River.
Mm-hmm.
And the barges for the fireworks are right in front of Pier 6, where Fornino, the Art and Science of Pizza, is located. And they had a wonderful party this year. They did charge admission, but they limited the number of guests so it wasn't crowded, and they had front row views of the fireworks from Fornino. And assuming the fireworks are staying in the East River next July 4th, $75, you got food, you got, I think, maybe you got some drinks with that, and you got a front row view of the fireworks right there. So that's pretty darn good pizza,
that
too.
It sounds
delish. That's definitely open to the public. That one's there all summer long. It's not there they're not open during the winter, but it's a great rooftop. And it's a lot of fun during the day because you're right next to the volleyball court, and you get to look down at all the kids, and they're, you know, bouncing around in their bathing suits and playing volleyball, and it's a great place. And of course, you have the view straight across the East River to the financial district of Manhattan,
right.
And beautiful daytime, nighttime, but especially sunset. It's a place to be.
By the way, are there any of the roofs, like I see some of them are hotel roofs, do people generally have an easy time getting into those?
It depends. Some places do the whole velvet rope door, you know, doorman thing, and you got to kind of dress up and.
But
and
you have to be like a hotel guest or a member or something.
But, yeah. You know, there are ones that are very C&B scene places. The Labane at the Standard Hotel in the Meatpacking District often has a line. Not during the day. They have pretty long hours. I've been there when there's absolutely no line. You just go straight up. But if you want to go on Saturday night at midnight, I'd say you're probably going to be waiting at street level for a little while before you get up there.
Right.
The Gansevoort Park is like that. It's you know, it's actually really worth the wait, though. It's so beautiful up there, and they've got this great rooftop pool with a mosaic of a pinup girl on the bottom of it. It's really neat.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's the Gansevoort Park in the Flatiron District on Park Avenue. You know, there's some of them, but then there's other places that they can't even imagine the idea of a velvet rope. Like there's places that locals hang out. The Rogers Hotel has Henry's Bar, and there's no velvet rope there. It's just, you know, it's really lovely. The Heights Bar and Grill up at Columbia University, very college student local kind of place. Of course, that's not a hotel. You were asking about hotels.
Well, I was not so much hotels, but I was just curious if any of these places require you to have been, you know, a customer, a member, a guest, a,
Well, I don't think I included any of those places. There are rooftops that, you know, there's a lot of rooftops that are not in this book because they're not what I would consider public access. You do have to be a member. Like the Soho House, they've got a beautiful rooftop pool in the Meatpacking District. And you need to be a guest staying there or a friend of a guest to go there. So that one didn't make the cut because that's not public enough for my, you know, my bar.
Okay. So the cut is to get in this book, you have to be available to the general public.
You have to be available one way or another. There's a sports club in the sports and entertainment section. That you can, they want you to be a member, but you can buy a day pass. So I considered that rooftop public access because they readily sell day passes, whereas the Soho House doesn't readily do that. You really have to be a guest there to, you know, to get on that roof. So it's a little bit of an arbitrary line, but I thought if you could get in relatively easily for a reasonable amount of money, then it was public access.
Was the sports club one, the one on 86th Street by any chance?
No, it's out in Long Island City, Queens, and it's got a great view across into Manhattan. It's a City View Racquet Club. The tennis is not on the roof, but they have this beautiful deck on the roof. In fact, they're revamping it now. They might be adding a pool up there. I'm waiting to hear what's going on with that. But, it's just a wonderful... People go up there and have a drink and hang out with their friends after they play tennis or play squash.
Well, I used to belong to the New York Sports Club, and they have a location at 86th Street with a rooftop.
Aha!
Aha!
That sounds really nice. I was told also, I can't say I've been there, but I was told that the Reebok Club in around Lincoln Center has a rooftop running track, which sounds great. So that's probably one of those places you can get a day pass to. I don't know for sure, though. I haven't done my homework on that. I just heard about it recently. But it seems like it'd be a lot more fun to run outside than inside when the weather is good.
I would think so. Now, you have some places that are so disparate between there and from one place to another. So you have, on the one hand, a place like the Bryant Park Grill, and on the other hand, or the Waldorf Astoria, which must be very high end. And then I'm thinking you have the Riverbank State Park, which is near me. And I'm imagining I haven't been to it other than I've been inside the – I haven't been to the – maybe years ago when it first opened, I was – I think I went
I
to the running
to
track for
there.
Some event, but they don't like bikes there, so I never go in.
Yeah, I see people take their bikes and they just kind of, hope they don't run into a security person. But that's true. They do want you to walk your bike and if you take it in there.
Which that should be illegal. That should be like a federal offense.
To make
in my
you
opinion.
Walk your bike.
Making you walk your bike should be a federal offense, punishable
well,
by walking.
Tell people what Riverbank State Park is because it's really mind-bogglingly cool. It's so incredible. And unless people, it's the largest rooftop I know about, certainly the largest in New York City, and one of the most interesting and so often overlooked. Riverbank State Park is a 28-acre rooftop that's built on top of a sewage treatment facility plant in Harlem along the Hudson River.
Yeah.
It goes from 138th Street to 145th Street, I believe. So, and it's just massive. They've got a pool that, on, first of all, you do not smell the sewage treatment plant when you're up there. I've been there dozens and dozens mm-hmm. of times. I used to swim in the pool there every week until I started writing this book and I just no longer had time to travel up to Harlem to swim anymore. But this is a 50-meter pool, an indoor 50-meter, beautifully maintained pool that I used to swim in every week for $3.
It's just wow.
the bargain of the century, a heated, maintained, fabulous pool. And to be able to do a 50-meter lap is, you know, it's just, it's really, for somebody who loves to swim, it's just great. So they also have an outdoor 25-yard standard pool that's open during summer. They have an ice skating rink that's open all winter,
mm-hmm.
and it's really inexpensive to skate there. They've got a running track that you were just talking about, and they just redid it in the last year or two. It's beautiful. They have tennis courts, basketball courts. They have a carousel. They have a restaurant. They have a theater,
really?
An indoor theater.
Wow.
It goes on and on. They've got classes there. You can learn everything from chess to belly dancing to how to play guitar. It's a huge community for the neighborhood.
That's amazing.
And it's you know, it's really because Harlem did not want a sewage treatment plant built in their neighborhood, and
mm-hmm.
they negotiated to get this giant park in exchange for putting up with having a sewage treatment plant. And it's really, really well. Oh, you know what else they have on top there that's amazing is a community garden. So this is a rooftop community garden, and it's so popular they have to do a lottery for it. It's very, very difficult. Well, you just have to be very lucky to get a plot in that community garden. There's a waiting list every year.
But and you look at that whole place as the rooftop. Is that what I'm hearing?
It is. If you're on the bike path, which I know you've been on many times,
yeah,
bike
pass
path,
by this every single
along
day.
Along Hudson River,
yeah.
Yeah. So when you're about 125th Street, if you look north, so you're looking mm-hmm. another 10, 12 blocks or so, you see the building that's the sewage treatment facility plant, and it's very clear that it's a rooftop. It's just the flat top of the building, and it's just a massive building. Like I said, it's 28 acres up there. So when you're on it, you don't have that feeling of being on a rooftop because there's trees and park benches and, like I said, a carousel and all sorts of
things. Well, is there a rooftop on the rooftop?
I guess there is. The ice-covered thing, a metal
mm-hmm.
thing. The pool is an indoor pool, so there's a rooftop there, but I don't know what's on that rooftop. And there's a facilities building that has the theater and classrooms and administrative offices, too. And the restaurant has a roof, I guess, but I don't know what's on those rooftops. But those are rooftops built on top of rooftops. Very clever of you to notice that.
It's like things on top of other things.
It's like the Russian dolls, I guess.
That's right. The nested dolls, I mean, nested rooftops. That'll be your next book.
Yeah, but it is pretty. It's really worth visiting, and they have so much on offer up there. And it's open to the public, of course, and it's used mostly by people in the neighborhood. Though it's kind of one of those open secrets.
Well, I mean, I knew a little bit about it, but you're telling me all these things that I never know.
Yeah, it's great. I used to go there. I'd get there a little before 7 in the morning, and the sun would be coming up over the river. It was just the most delightful walk-in from Broadway and 138th Street across the bridge. And to see people out there, you know, all the neighborhood people out there running or walking on the track early in the morning, enjoying the nice, cool morning time, and I'd go take my swim, and it's just, I really miss that. I just, like I said, when I started working on the book, there went my time, my travel time, and I started swimming closer to home at Chelsea. So, much closer.
So this book, you started how long ago? How long was the idea, I think I need to do a book about this?
Oh, that's I came up with the idea to do a book about rooftops before I moved to New York City. So it was really just a concept in my imagination. I visited New York, and I knew I wanted to move here, but I hadn't lived here, and I hadn't been on the rooftops. It was just I was looking for a project to do when I came here. I was looking for something that I could really get into and really be passionate about, because I wanted to be like a New Yorker, and New Yorkers always have projects they're passionate about.
Right.
So I looked into lots of things, and one of them was rooftops, because I was always fascinated, always looking up and wondering what it looked like from up there looking down. I always wanted to have that perspective. And when I was poking around on Google, like everybody else does, poking around looking for books on rooftops in New York City, this was 5 years ago, there was nothing. Not a single book at that point had been written on rooftops in New York City. There was a book that had some rooftops in it by Marianne Poole that was done in the 80s. And it turns out there's a book that says it's about New York City rooftops that's actually really beautiful by Laura Rosen that was written in 1982. But that book is really just about the architectural detail on the tops of buildings. So it's not really about going to rooftops, but it's about all the beautiful architecture. It's a fabulous photography book, but it's very different from what I was looking for. So when I'm thinking this is amazing. This is, how can you find something in New York that hasn't been done 10 times over? I'd better do it. So I decided
very
I was
unusual.
Going to write a book, and it started out as, the concept really started out as taking people visually to which they couldn't go to by them, on their own. So I went to a lot of private roofs when I started this project, a lot of private penthouse roofs, sometimes corporate roofs. For example, I was on the top of Silver Cup Studios. They've got a green roof up there, believe it or not, up where the sign is, the famous sign. I was on top of Con Edison. They've got a fabulous green roof up there. They're very eco-conscious. And they're actually doing all sorts of, they have lots of science going on up there. They're doing a lot of quantitative measuring about how the green roof, whether it keeps the building cooler and whatnot. They're doing all sorts of cool science stuff and gathering data there so they know what's really most effective for green roofs. I was on a lot of places. The Morgan Mail Processing Center in Manhattan has a fantastic green roof. But these are all roofs that are very hard to get on, and you need to have a really great appointment setter like I did to get on these roofs. Michelle Brick helped me with that. You know Michelle. She could get me on any roof. She is amazing. Michelle is incredible. But that is not the book that I ended up wanting to write. I realized what I wanted is for people to have the same thrill, the same joy, the same pleasure that I have going on New York City rooftops. And I didn't want to just take them there visually with pictures. I wanted them to be able to go to the same roofs I was going to and have that same thrill. So that's how it turned into Roof Explorer's Guide, and that it's all about public access roofs.
Yeah, and this is like when I look at any one of these things, the little sidebar, as you say, has all the details. It even has what subway trains go there, the phone number, the hours, when it's open. So it's not just a little list. This is actually a very detailed book with beautiful pictures.
Thank you. Yes, we've got 226 pages of color photos, and there are the sidebars. People, it's so funny. I put all this information in the sidebars about, like you just said, the hours and all the details. And the thing that people always comment on are the subway stops. People love the subway stop. And
well, that's very...
Because I always put in the nearest subway stop.
Well, if you're a New Yorker, as opposed to a San Diegoan, you're a New Yorker, you know, from subway stops, you know. You know, unless you're one of these people who, you know, have a chauffeur, and even Bloomberg, when he was the mayor, he took the subway. So you know from subway stops, you know, like you think in terms of course, you and I, Leslie, we know how to get places by bicycle, but everybody else in New York is strictly subway.
Although,
okay, well,
there are a lot of people joining
there.
Us on bicycles these days. That's for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's growing,
but
it's
no,
still
the,
a small percentage.
Right. People love that, though. It's funny, and maybe because the colors pop out, because, you know, the subway, or it's familiar, or because, well, New Yorkers love their subway. I love the New York City subway, too. I just happen to find that usually I'm running late, and getting someplace on the bicycle is often so much faster, and I hate to be late, so... It gets me where I want to go quickly. I live in the part of the West Village that's not far from the subway, but it's not close.
Right.
You know, it's at least 6-8 minute walk, whatever, to the closest subway. And in 8 minutes on my bike, I can be halfway across the island. You know? So I think it's really more just out of convenience that I bike everywhere. But it really is a very bike-friendly book, too, because you can see more routes in a shorter period of time if you're on a bike than if you're on subway or on foot.
The one that I had opened up earlier, the Fornino, what does it say for best way to get there? Bicycle.
Well, it is. Yeah, Brooklyn Bridge Park is one of those places that's not really, really easily accessible by 10-12 minute walk. And so for me, you know, it's really nice to bike there, and it's so beautiful. But you can definitely get there with a subway and a comfortable pair of shoes, too.
So I want to answer a little bit about the publishing aspect, and then I want to take a few questions because there are a whole bunch of people who have called in and have pressed the magic button that says they have a question. I have 1, 2, 3, 4 callers who have questions, and I have a couple more who don't have questions. So,
okay.
Which is kind of cool. Yeah, it means you can also just listen, and that's fine. But let's, is this a self-published book?
Yes, this is a self-published book. I did that out of fear, basically.
Yeah.
Like I said before, there were no books on rooftop, New York City rooftop,
mm-hmm.
5 years ago, or actually even 4 years ago when I moved here. There still were none. Right now, my book is, I think, number 5 or 6. That many books have been published in a short period of time about New York City rooftops. Now, mine is the only guide to public access rooftops, but Rizzoli did one on private rooftops, like my original concept, the sort of coffee table book they
mm-hmm.
made of private
yes.
rooftops. There's a European company that did a mix of private rooftops and sort of corporate rooftops, like it has the Channel Gardens at Rockefeller Center, not public access. Unfortunately, even though they were built that way in the 30s,
mm-hmm.
they are not currently public access. But so it's, you know, it's a mix. And then Brooklyn Botanic Garden put out a gorgeous little paperback book on how to build a roof, a green roof, and they have a lot of New York City rooftops in that one. So there's a few things like that. Someone did a fellowship, and they got a little kind of paper book printed that has something to do with New York City rooftops. So, and then my book came out. And I was so afraid because I've talked to a lot of people over the last 4 years.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, this is such a great idea. And I want to make sure I'm the one who gets to do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And so the whole process of looking for an agent, a publisher, you know, I probably could have found one, but it takes so long. And the publishing industry is so kind of afraid of small projects like this right now because the industry
mm-hmm.
is going through so many changes. They don't
sure.
really know, you know, everything is changing with self-publishing. And so I thought it would just take too long and I didn't have the patience. And so I just said, okay, let's just do this. We'll self-publish and see how it goes. And actually it's been going so much better than I ever expected. It's really, really mind-boggling. I the problem with not having a publisher is distribution. You don't have the distribution.
Right.
But
you also have to front the funds, don't you?
Yeah, that part I had to do. I needed to pay for the printing and the shipping. Everything else, I have to say, I am the world's luckiest person. My two fabulous photographers, Ari Burling and Heather Shimon, did all the work for this book on a voluntary basis, which is incredible. I mean, we were out there sometimes in the rain and freezing and in the heat. And I mean, these people, it's incredible what people will do for a beer, you know.
Right.
Just wonderful, because they love the project. They really love the project. And then my two art directors, a wonderful married couple, it's Arlene Bender and Bob Aisi. They, well, Arlene is the one who took on the project, and I think she roped in Bob. Bob really now loves the project, too. In fact, he's very busy making videos for me, and he's got all sorts of ideas to take Roof Explorers Guide and expand it into even more, you know, all sorts of explorers. So I'm just very, very lucky. I have these incredibly talented people who love the project and stepped up and volunteered. So really what I ended up paying for is the printing, the shipping, things like the ISBN number and turning it into an e-book. That costs a bunch of money because it's such a the book is full of art. It's full of photographs and color.
Yeah.
But the book is available on Kindle. It's available for Android devices and Apple devices. So
that's great.
You know, for that kind of stuff. But the big miracle is that I do actually have distribution, which is the big thing I thought I would never have. I was invited to be a vendor with Baker & Taylor, one of the two large distributors of books in the country, maybe in the world, I don't know, but certainly in the U.S. And that's really incredible. So as soon as they get some purchase orders to me, I've got people waiting to buy books, and I'm waiting for the purchase orders, and I'll ship them books. And then really, right now, any bookstore anywhere in the world could order this book. And that's the thing I never thought I'd have, but I do have. So it's really, like I said, it's just beyond my wildest dreams.
Well, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's all just a very lucky thing. I approached this lovely woman who runs the gift store at the Empire State Building a month ago or so, and I asked her if she'd show the book. She doesn't do the buying, but I asked her if she'd show the book to her boss, and I guess she actually did it. And he called Baker & Taylor and said, "I want Roof Explorer's Guide." And next thing you know, here I was invited to be a vendor at Baker & Taylor, which just, after I got that phone call, I could hardly breathe. I was so excited. It was just a really, really big thing. So very soon, the Empire State Building, which has...
And that's certainly, by the way, the ultimate rooftop in New York, don't you think?
It's definitely... It's the highest up one right now.
Well, right now, yes.
Right now, we've got World Trade Center coming online fairly soon, but right now it's the highest. It's 86 floors up. It's so incredibly iconic, and it's got 3.6 million visitors a year, so an average of 10,000 people a day goes through there. It's open until 2 in the morning. I had no idea until I started researching this book that it was open. You could go there in the middle of the night. Really.
By the way, did you ever get to the World Trade Center on a visit?
I did. I'm very, very fortunate that I did. And it actually wasn't my choice. This was many years ago. My very first trip to New York City, oh my God, it must have been 25 years ago or so now. I was married then, and I came with my husband. We were just stopping in New York City for a day, literally just a day on our way to England to visit his family. And we only had a day, and what should we do? And I said Empire State Building, and he said World Trade Center. And we ended up going to the World Trade Center. I have to say I'm very grateful to him for that to this day, because otherwise I never would have been there. And so I feel very fortunate that I got to do that.
Nice. I have a question from the chat room, which Bob from the chat room has a question I had in my mind also. So great minds think alike. Are you planning on writing about other cities?
Well, as you were saying before, this book is self-published, and I've kind of tapped out my my savings account on this one
at
the moment.
Right, right, sure.
But let's say this book does really well, or let's say a publisher sees it and thinks, oh, that would be fantastic. I want to get Leslie to turn this into a series of books on rooftops in major urban cities, major metropolitan cities. I absolutely would love to do that. I really always visualize this as an international series, New York, London, Paris, Tokyo, and Sydney.
Nice.
But it'd be really fun to do other American cities, too. I might have to combine a couple of cities to get 101, so we might do something like the West Coast or the Midwest, Chicago and, you know, St. Louis, that kind of thing, or the Southeast. You know, we could do something like that as well, but it seems like the natural next city would be London. They've got a lot of interesting roofs and a lot of adaptive reuse going on there. The woman who is one of my photographers, Heather Shimon, a whole master's degree on adaptive reuse, and her special thing she did it on was London rooftops. So that's how we got together, and how she was so interested in this book. So she's kind of the London roof lady, while I'm a, you know, New York roof explorer. And we would love to go over there and have an opportunity to do Roof Explorer's Guide 101 London Rooftops. So that was a great question. Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. You're welcome, says Bob, I'm sure. Okay, let's take a caller from the chat room. And so we had some people here. Here's somebody who's been on the phone for the longest time. So let's take somebody from the 818 area code. I'm about to put you on the line. Hello, do you have a question for Leslie? 818 area code. Well,
we do some.
Hello? Nope, I guess we... you know, put this. Let's go to the next one.
Is 818 the Valley in L.A.? Isn't that Los Angeles?
Yeah, I have a couple.
Oh, okay,
let's try. Let's see. New Jersey is in the house. 201 area code. 201 area code. Hello.
Is that me? Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. First, I'm amazed. I live in New Jersey. I'm amazed that the. I never thought of the park in Harlem as a rooftop. I'm there not all the time, but a lot. And it is a rooftop, of course, and I just never thought of it until listening to the program tonight. But it's a great place to go, and now I know I've been to rooftops. But my question is, does it have to be open air to qualify, or is it like the Marriott Marquis has a revolving restaurant on the roof? It's not open air, though. It's enclosed. Is that considered?
The Marriott Marquis, I thought about putting that one in the book, and it's a really fun place to go. I love the concept of the revolving restaurant and the view from Times Square all over the city.
Right.
You know what? I have to think. I think everything in the book has open air.
Yeah.
I considered that one. I really, really looked at it, but, it's funny. With 101, you'd think I'd have a hard time getting to 101, but not New York City.
No, of course not.
So many places
so
that
open air
I couldn't include. And so because it didn't have an outdoor area, I chose to not include that.
Right.
But it is a lot of fun to go there. And they have one of those brunches. If you need 10,000 calories for one meal, that's the place to go. So.
And another quick question. Are there enough farms or gardens that are open to the public by just walking in, or those require prior calling ahead and reservations, I would assume, right? As far as the garden ones, not the bars, of course.
The book tells you the details. There's a lot of variation on that. And there's one that's not in the book that's open every Sunday that's up in the Upper West Side, Lotus Garden, Community Garden. I think that's open Sunday afternoons. River Park that's the one that's in the 3,000 milk crates, 12-inch by 12-inch milk crates.
Oh.
You can always go over to East 29th Street and look over the low fence and look into the farm. But the actual farm tour, I think they do a couple of days a week where they take you in and around and talk to you about how they do what they do. Eagle Street has certain hours. The one on top of the Navy Yard, the Brooklyn Grange is in the Navy Yard. That one, they're getting tougher and tougher. That used to be a little more open, and now I think they've just got one day a week where you can visit.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess
so
there are 6 months out of the year.
Tells you all those details in the sidebars. So
okay. Those are probably
many.
Yeah, right. And I guess they run like 6 months out of the year as far as the garden ones, right? Probably, you know.
Well, the Chef's Garden, for example, on top of the Crosby Hotel, one of my absolute, I love all of them, but the Crosby Hotel is a very special place to me. I adore that place. They've got a gorgeous Chef's Garden on the roof. And that's really not open to the public unless you ask. But the Chef's Garden has to be planted, and that's probably from about May to October.
Okay.
And they're very, very nice there. So
right.
We've even got chickens up on that roof.
Oh, cool.
Chickens that lay blue eggs.
What? Did you say blue?
Wow.
Blue eggs. Yeah, they're South American gorgeous chickens, and they lay blue eggs.
Wow. But the yolks are still yellow, I assume.
I believe the inside of the egg looks pretty much like an egg, but the outside is kind of baby
cool.
blue. Yeah.
Well, congratulations on a much-needed book, and I'm going to call Amazon tomorrow and order one.
Thanks. Yeah, it's also at Barnes & Noble, too, barnesandnoble.com, and all the New York stores.
Cool. Thanks so much.
Right there.
Great. We're going to go to another caller. We have, let's see, another one from 619. Let's go to 619.
Okay.
Let's see. 619, you're live.
Hi there.
Hi.
I was wondering, knowing how persnickety restaurateurs could be, if you had any owners who did not want to be included in your book, and if you know why.
Yes.
Wow. Great question.
Persnickety, huh? Well, in this case, it's not persnickety. They're really super nice, but there's a restaurant in my neighborhood in the West Village on West 10th Street that I can highly recommend. I've been there a number of times, called Bell Book and Candle. And it's actually in a kind of a townhouse. It's in the basement. So the restaurant is downstairs. But on top of the sixth floor, they have a hydroponic roof farm. Everything is hydroponic. There's no soil. It's all done with water and nutrients. It's really incredible. They grow basil and berries and tomatoes and all kinds of herbs. It's really fantastic. And they used to take people up there. But you're going up past all sorts of apartments. It's on the sixth floor of a residential building. And the neighbors finally got a little bit fed up with this. So they had to make that no longer public access. So it's not that they were persnickety. They loved having people up there and showing off what they were doing. It's just that they were trying to be good neighbors and not have people walking past private homes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I haven't really run into persnickety. Usually when somebody goes to the trouble to put a garden on their roof, whether it's a private home or a restaurant, they want to show it off. It's mm-hmm. It's just a lot of work to get things up there and to maintain it and take care of it. And people love to show it off. I also run a meetup group of New York roof gardeners. And so that's how I can say that with confidence, because these are people who have these beautiful private rooftop gardens, and they invite people through meetup to come see them because they want to share all these gorgeous things and share the experience. So, anyways, thank you for the question. That was a great one.
Great question, and thanks for the word persnickety, which is that alone was worth taking the call.
Thanks so much for answering my questions, and good luck with the book.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye.
Let's see. We have one more caller. Let's see, 858. 858, you're on the line.
Hi, I left New York 25 years ago to move to San Diego. My name is Henry, and I'm blown away by the sheer volume, the sheer number of roofs. My exposure to roofs in New York was basically Tar Beach. And my question is, and Leslie's alluded to it over the last few minutes, I wanted to know if you had to struggle to hit 101 rooftops or if you really had to struggle to pare down the number to 101.
Well, Henry, that's a great question. I had to do both. In terms of restaurants or bars, places that will serve food or drink on a rooftop or a setback, an open terrace, I had to struggle to get the number down because I didn't want the book to be just about bars and restaurants. It has a significant number of them, and it's got a great variety of them. But my personal list of places that will serve you food or drink in the five boroughs on a rooftop or a setback is right now at 140, and
wow.
I have 48 of them in the book. So I had to be very particular there. But in terms of the other sections, elevated parks, rooftop farms, rooftop sports and entertainment, museums with rooftops, that one, you know, I really had to search because there are a lot of them out there, kind of the hidden, tucked away ones and a little more obvious ones, but there aren't that many that I could say, oh, I've got too many elevated parks. There's never too many elevated parks. We're so lucky to have the ones that we have. And, of course, the most famous one being the High Line, which is the biggest elevated park in the world. But no, those I really was grateful for every last one of them, every last green roof and every last elevated park and every last museum, everything that's in the book.
Well, thank you very much for this eye-opener. Somebody gave me this book as a gift about 2 weeks ago, and I'm traveling back to New York in October, November to visit family, but some of that time is going to be spent checking out the roofs, and I thank you very much.
Excellent. Great. Have fun.
Thanks, Henry.
Thanks. Take care.
Okay. That was pretty cool. Pretty cool question.
Yeah,
so I want to hear what is coming up for you in the world of – in the world of roofs.
Oh, I have to say, I'm so disappointed tonight because it rained. We've been having such amazing weather here in New York City lately. But tonight it rained. Our great weather kind of stopped right when I was invited to an incredible roof in my neighborhood for the Charles Street Neighborhood Association party.
Mm-hmm.
I was so disappointed. I wanted to go. But in terms of other rooftops, we've got a meetup group. Actually, I have two meetup groups that have to do with roofs. One I talked about before, the roof deck and roof gardeners meetup group.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had an incredible Cobble Hill experience last weekend on Gordon Hawkins' roof. This man grows tropical plants on his roof, and he has a fountain that has smoke coming out of it, and it's just the most beautiful, interesting roof you can imagine. It's actually hard to imagine until you go there. And we've got more rooftop meetups coming up for the roof gardening group, and it's a very democratic thing. Meetup, anybody can join. If you're in New York City, just type in rooftop gardens, and our meetup will pop up. We're the only one. And there are lots
I have
of
a list here of a few things, Leslie, that I want to make sure that we mention in terms of things that are coming up. I have here, let's see, you have Open House New York Tours on October 11th and 12th.
Yes, I'm very excited about that. I'm going to be part of Open House New York, and I'm doing a tour of public access roofs in downtown. We're going to be doing a walking tour. It's pretty long, about 1.6 miles. And we'll be going to at least three public access roofs. There might be an extra one in there. We have to see if it's still open in October. I'm waiting to hear. So that will be a lot of fun. Those will be at 4 o'clock on October 11th and 12th, Saturday and Sunday. And that'll be in the Open House New York guide when that comes out the weekend before. It's always in Time Out New York and stuff. So, again, join us. That'll be great.
And let's see, you have New York Public Library Talks.
I do.
You do?
I've been invited to speak at the main circulating branch, the Mid-Manhattan Library branch, on Tuesday, September 2nd, the day after Labor Day weekend. That's at 6:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be tons of fun because the two photographers, Heather and Ari, will be there. The two art directors, Arlene and Bob, will be there. So you've got everybody who made this book happen.
The whole cast.
The whole cast will be there. And Bob is helping me put together a slideshow so we can show you some pictures from the book, some of the rooftops. And I'll be telling some stories about rooftops. For example, we're going to be right there. We won't be in the main library that everybody knows with the lions, but we'll be right across the street from it.
Right.
So we'll be across the street from Bryant Park, and I'll be telling people, well, you're getting a preview here, I'll be telling people that Bryant Park is actually a green roof. Even though it's at street level, below Bryant Park is, get this, I really have a hard time even believing this, but it's true. Below Bryant Park's lawn, and that whole area is 40 miles of shelf space for the New York Public Library.
Wow.
So that's all built, that's all green roof technology. It's pretty amazing. After that talk, also the Bookmarks Hotel, which is in the book, at the the Bookmarks Lounge at the Library Hotel. It's on Madison Avenue right behind the library. They're going to be making a special cocktail for us that night called the Roof Explorer, and they're going to sell it at a discounted $10, which for a rooftop bar is a bargain. So after the talk, we're going to head over to Bookmarks Lounge on the rooftop and have a Roof Explorer cocktail. So if you're in New York City on September 2nd, come to the talk at 6:30. We'll head over to Bookmarks Lounge about 7:30, and so we'll get to talk about roofs, and then we'll get to be on a roof, which will be a lot of fun.
Now you have there's something coming up that just sounds so funny. Upcoming bike roof tours, which would be very, you know, I guess you ride from one roof, you fall off, you ride in the street, you ride up the building. How does that work?
Yeah, we're not going to be riding on any roof, but we'll be riding from roof to roof. Yes, just this long time ago with another meetup group called Bike to Adventure. We did a roof tour, but that was a very different one. That one we started up in Harlem at Riverbank State Park because I wanted everybody to see that it is a roof. And then we actually had a tour of the roof by the ranger up there. And then we came down the west side and went to several places, Lincoln Center, the High Line. We were eventually supposed to go across the bridge and go into Brooklyn and have a drink at Berry Park, which is a lovely roof bar out there.
Mm-hmm.
But the weather got in the way. You've got to be very careful with weather when you're a roof explorer. You've got to got to roll with it. So, but what we'll probably be doing, Heather the photographer and I will probably be doing this together. We'll probably stick with the downtown into Williamsburg route, where we go to the Elevated Acre, which is a public access rooftop park done by Ken Smith Landscape Architect, one of my absolute favorite landscape architects out there.
Right.
And we'll go over to another one of his creations, Pier 15, which is just below South Street Seaport. And then if it's the right time of day when it's open, we'll go to the Lower East Side Ecology Center and climb up the little spiral staircase to their incredible green roof. It's one of those green roofs that acts like a sponge. It's there to absorb rainwater, basically, to reduce stormwater runoff. But what's incredible about it is, first of all, the view across the East River. It's right along the river. And also, historically, that exact spot in the river has been playing a role in New York history way before New York was New York. The Indians used to use that particular little crook in the East River Bend because it was a safe spot to pull your canoe over, you know, in a very rapid river. It's this little elbow in the river.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's got tons of history. George Washington, was protected there in the Battle of Brooklyn. It's just all sorts of cool stuff that's happened at that exact spot. Then we're going to go over to Williamsburg and get some lunch at Smorgasbord and go to another elevated green roof there at Bushwick Inlet Park. And if people want to have a drink at one of the Williamsburg rooftop bars, we'll take them there. So
nice.
We've got a bike tour. We'll do this all by bike. And if people don't have a bike, we're going to start at Waterfront Bike Shop on the west side, and they do rentals, and they're a wonderful neighborhood place that we like to support.
And for those who are not in New York, which is I'm sure there will be plenty of audience here who is not in New York, you will be in San Diego in November at a book fair. Will you not?
I will. I'm going to be one of the authors. I'm very, very excited about this, actually. In my hometown, I'm going to be an author at the San Diego Jewish Book Fair at the La Jolla JCC on Sunday, November 16th, I believe, at 9 in the morning, and there will be bagels and coffee.
More importantly, will there be a fiddler on the rooftop?
I haven't arranged for that yet. We'll have to see if we can work that out.
That's
what
you should have.
This is the second largest Jewish book fair in the country. It's got tons. It's just tons and tons of people show up for it, and it's such an honor to be able to speak and show my slides and see people at that. I am really, really thrilled. So that's definitely something. So yeah, I've got a busy September, October. Oh, I'm also doing another New York Public Library talk Wednesday, October 8th at the Jefferson Market Library, and then of course the Open House New York tours, and then November brings the San Diego talk. So it's a busy couple of months. Very, very excited.
Okay, well, guess what? We're just about out of time here on Coach's Corner. I really want to thank you, Leslie, for coming on my show and telling everybody about rooftops and with your Roof Explorer's Guide, which is a beautiful, wonderful book that anyone who's in New York, coming to New York, visiting New York, especially if you're coming and it's not the winter, you ought to have this book. And
there are winter rooftops. There are definitely, don't think you can't see rooftops in the winter. Columbia University has one of my favorite rooftop activities. Whenever school's in session every other Friday night, they have a lecture in the basement, and then you get to go up to the roof of Pupin Hall, which is the physics building, and it's about 15 stories up, and they have an amazing telescope up there, and the students help you. They focus it, and when I was up there, I got to see Saturn. It was fabulous.
Nice.
Yeah, so these things go on all year. Don't think you can't Roof Explore 12 months a year because you can.
Okay. Well, 12 months a year, you can be up on the roof.
Up on the roof.
That's right. So tell everyone again where they can find your book.
Oh, my gosh. You can find it lots of places now, and more all the time. You can find it at barnesandnoble.com, Barnes & Noble in the New York area. You can find it on Amazon.com. It's an ebook. You can find it for your Apple device, your Google device, your Kindle device. You can find it at Chelsea Market Baskets. You can find it at Three Lives and Company. You can find it at up in Bronxville, believe it or not. They're carrying it at the wonderful bookstore up in Bronxville. You can find it at Teich in the West Village. You can find
it at Idlewild. And the website, Leslie, is
RoofExplorersGuide.com. You can find it on my RoofExplorersGuide.com website, too.
So, again, thank you for being on the show. Everyone, check out that book, and there will also be links on my page here, Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. We will be back soon here on Blog Talk Radio, and as always, great to have you here. Good night.